Today on Stories Unbound, interview with literary agent Jennifer March Soloway, part one. Welcome to Stories Unbound, your guide to the growing world of kid lit and children's book publishing. I'm Shauna J.C. Tenney. I'm an author and an illustrator. My story went from personal project to published book, and I want to help you do the same in an ever-changing industry. Hey friends, welcome to Stories Unbound. I hope you've been finding time to create awesome new art and stories. I know that it seems for me that in the months of January and February, I seem to have a little more time because people don't plan as much in those months. It seems I have a little more time to create, so I hope you have been finding that time too. As I mentioned back in episode 15 on agents, today we're going to be talking with a literary agent, Jennifer March Soloway. Let me tell you a little bit about our interview today. Jennifer March Soloway is an associate agent at the reputable Andrea Brown Literary Agency. In this interview, we talk about how to pitch a story to an agent, what's a query letter and how to write one, why it's important to keep revising, rewriting, and resubmitting your story, what is Big Sur Writing Workshop and why should you go, and what do a toy inventor liaison and a literary agent have in common? Now, one more thing before we jump into the interview. In 2017, the Stories Unbound team and the Yodlee Academy will be launching a workshop geared specifically toward picture book creators. In this workshop, I'll guide you start to finish through the most important part of the process of creating your own picture book. If you want to be the first to learn about details as they develop and be the first to enroll before we open it to the public, go to oatleyacademy.com/go/unbound workshop and join the early notification list today. All right, let's jump into the interview with Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer. It's so great to have you today on Stories Unbound. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, Shauna, it's my pleasure. I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
Why don't we start out with a little bit of your background? Let's talk about, first of all, how did you get into writing and then kind of how you went from that to being an agent?
Oh, so that's a great question. So I have always loved to write and I always loved English. I was always really into grammar, which I know sounds weird.
Yeah.
And punctuation. And I actually wrote my first book when I was in fifth grade and my second book when I was in sixth grade. And I won an award in fifth grade for my first book. It was, I think, 25 pages. Yeah, just at my school.
Nice.
I don't think anyone's ever asked me about that before.
Cool.
And then I also really wanted to do creative writing when I was in high school. My high school didn't offer that, so they offered journalism instead. And I got really interested in journalism in high school, and then I studied that in college. But by the time I graduated from college, I realized I didn't want to be a journalist, and so I got into PR and marketing. And I worked first in the banking industry, which was interesting. I got to research check fraud.
Oh.
And then I got into healthcare, nonprofit healthcare, mostly working with families and children. And then from there, I got a job at a toy company. And I worked at PR and marketing in toys. And while I was there, I also got an opportunity to be the toy inventor liaison for my company. And so what that was that on top of like doing the catalog and all of our public relations and running our contests for kids, I would tour the country and meet with toy inventors who would pitch their ideas to me. And then I would bring those ideas back to our company and I would present the ones that I thought were really great. And we had a very strong internal design team. So for the most part, everything we did was in-house. So for every idea that came in, I had to actually write a formal rejection so it would be clear that we hadn't taken anything or recreated something that had been submitted to us. But then if I liked an idea, though, if I found something great, I would pitch it internally. And then if my company agreed, then I would turn around and negotiate the contract and the deal terms with the inventor. And yeah, so doesn't that sound a little familiar?
It sounds a little like being an agent.
Something I was just sort of doing and I loved it. It was great. I love toy inventors. I love the way they think. It's really fun. But about that time, I still wanted to get back into creative writing. I took a short story writing class and then I loved it so much. I went back and got an MFA in creative writing and English.
Oh, nice.
I really loved grammar and I love writing and I love editing a lot. And I loved all my lit classes, and I was actually thinking about getting a PhD at that point, But then I got pregnant and decided I was tired. And so the next few years I was working on writing and just polishing my craft. And actually at that time also, even though I didn't realize it, I was working on my editing skills. And then I went to the Big Sur Children's Workshop that's put on by the Andrew Brown Literary Agency. And I met many of the agents, including Laura Rennert, and I got an opportunity to apply for the assistant job for Laura. And so on a whim, I did, just to find out more about agenting and more about the business and more about publishing. And when I started, she had 10 to 20 hours a week. And I thought, well, you know, I'm not sure I really want to do this. You'll get 10 hours a week from me. And then I ended up doing 20 hours a week plus. I loved it. I loved everything about it. I loved looking. I really love editorial, I realized. Yeah, at least at this point in my life, more than writing, I really, really love to help people, to look at manuscripts, to see the opportunities of how to elevate the work and how to help people find their story. It gives me just great joy.
Yeah, that's great.
And then I also, and this is partially from my old job, but I love to write pitches. I love to pitch projects. I love to champion things that I believe in. So that was really exciting for me. I really like to read contracts and make sure all the language is right and all the terms are right. And it gives me great joy when I find something that, you know, doesn't work and we need to find it and renegotiate those terms.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. I need to just say that is so good for an agent.
Yes.
Because I've had agents that weren't so familiar with contracts and that's made it more difficult.
So that's one of the things at Andrew Brown that we do. And nice. I have worked on many, many contracts. And I would always ask Laura questions like, hey, I saw this. Should we be negotiating this? Or I looked at this clause and this seems wrong to me. Mm-hmm. And so I really spent a lot of time working on that. And then I even like looking at royalty statements and trying to decipher them. So,
nice. So
I just enjoy the whole thing. But I also really love to work with writers. I love to help them find their story. I love to talk about their ideas, help them figure out what to champion. And I love to be a cheerleader when people are feeling bad or need a pep talk or need a boost. I love to be that person for them. So really, nice. Agenting just turned out to be this great like mix of all of my favorite things to do.
Wow. So how did you jump from being the assistant agent into being now an associate agent?
Okay, so it wasn't really a jump. I worked.
What was your journey?
Journey, yeah. I worked 3 years as Laura's assistant. Mm-hmm. So I've put in quite a bit of time. And then in 2016, in January, I was promoted to assistant agent. And then in July, I was promoted to associate agent. And so in that meantime, I was still just coming up to speed and learning a few things that I hadn't been exposed to as an assistant.
I think that's so great with Andrea Brown Literary Agency. There's such good agents and there's a big group of them that can teach new agents. And it's not like you're just jumping out there on your own and trying to learn it.
No, not at all. And the great thing is I'm still working very closely with Laura. So she is basically hand holding me through all of my early deals and with all of my clients. But I have the entire agency is a resource to me. We are very collaborative. If one of us comes across something that we're not sure about, we can ask the entire agency and get feedback from there's 11 of us.
Yeah.
And then we also have Laura Renner is our executive agent. She has been doing this, you know, for more than 15 years. Andrea Brown has been in the business. The agency has been around for 30 plus years. I think we just had our 35th anniversary.
Wow.
She is an incredible resource. And I see her, you know, I see her regularly. I get to ask her questions. So, and we also share things internally. So for example, if someone submits to me and I like, oh, this would be great, but it's not, I'm not the right person. So for example, I don't represent chapter books. Mm-hmm. If a chapter book comes to me and I see the potential in it and think it would be great, I will give it to the other agents in the agency who do represent chapter books.
Yeah. That's so great that there's just such a great variety of you that you can do that collaboration.
Yes. And I'm also the fourth Jennifer. So just a little confusing. There are four of us, but I'm the one at the very bottom of the agent page on the website.
Yeah. Do you also collaborate if you are representing someone, but this manuscript isn't exactly what you usually represent? Is there collaboration that way?
You need to figure out who to send it to?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, we share information about editors too. Like, for example, if I meet with someone in New York, I will share my notes and share like what they're looking for and what they're working on right now. Yes.
Nice.
And so that's also a way that we can share information and a way for me to stay current as well.
So before we got on, you were mentioning the Andrea Brown Agency has a list of like updated where editors are, what houses they're in and that kind of stuff. That's
we internally keep track of a lot of editors will work at a house for a while and then they will switch to another house. And we just keep track of it and keep our contact information current.
Yeah, that's nice.
You can also track that information in Publishers Weekly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we are in constant contact with editors and trying to keep track of where everybody is.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the Big Sur Writing Workshop. I think there's a lot of people that aren't aware of it. And it's a workshop that Andrea Brown Literary Agency hosts, right?
Yes. And it is a phenomenal opportunity. So you have to apply to join. And you need to send in, I believe it's a chapter or 10 pages to apply. And then the weekend is set up like this. You arrive on Friday and there's a lunch and an introduction. You get to meet everyone. And then you will have two different workshop groups. And a workshop group will have, you know, anywhere from 4 to 7 writers about in there. It's a small group. Mm-hmm. And it will be led by either an agent, an author, or an editor. And we get terrific editors from publishing houses like Random House, Simon Schuster, Chronicle, Macmillan. We invite people from all of the big houses.
Wow.
And yeah, it's really a wonderful experience because you get to not only get feedback on your work in a really wonderful small group setting that's very supportive, but you also get to hear what an agent or an editor or a published author has to say. And so what happens is you bring your work to the workshop and you'll read each group leader kind of runs it a little differently. Sometimes you read the entire submission of, you know, 5 pages or 10 pages. And sometimes you just read the first few pages. Mm-hmm. So it's a cold read. And then the group will all talk about what works for them, what's not working, and then maybe ways to elevate it and what would be ways to revise it and make the project even stronger. And then, so you have your first meeting of your first group Friday afternoon. Then the next morning, Saturday, you meet with your second group, which is, and you can either workshop the same pages or picture book manuscript that you workshopped in that first group, or you could choose a different project. It's totally up to you. And then usually what happens is at the end of that first meeting of either your first group or your second group, the group leader will ask you to revise and bring back a revision of what we just workshopped. So you got your first meeting of your first group on Friday, your first meeting of your second group on Saturday morning. And then at lunch, there's usually a panel and a discussion and you get to eat. And then in the afternoon, after lunch and after the panel, which you might be talking about query letters or it might be talking about with editors of what's going on in the industry right now. And then in the afternoon, you'll have several hours to revise. And you can revise both your first workshop group and also your second workshop group. Then that afternoon, Saturday, you'll meet with the second meeting with your first group. And if you present your revision, it has been amazing the kind of revision that we see.
Wow.
Because the magic of Big Sur is that it's this wonderful place set in the woods. It's a gorgeous setting. There's no internet. There's very little cell reception. And it's quiet and it's beautiful. And it's just a time where you can really focus on your work and really focus on those pages.
Yeah.
And we have just seen magical transformation of those opening pages.
Wow.
And then Sunday morning, same thing. You'll have your second meeting of your second group. And the same thing, you'll have a chance to revise either that afternoon on Saturday or even in the evening. Usually in the evening on Saturday, we have another panel and another discussion and then opportunity to socialize. But, you know, you're always welcome to go back to your cabin and write and revise if you want to. And then Sunday morning, you get to present to your second group. And it's just an incredible experience. And I know a lot of people go there to get specifically to get in front of agents and editors. Right. But I will also say that the published authors are incredible resources. And I have heard feedback from published authors about revision and suggestions and strategies for revision that have been like groundbreaking aha moments for me.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow. That is the best suggestion, or that's the best tip I have ever heard.
Yeah.
So, and we get really great authors who come, like Katherine Ryan Hyde, who wrote Pay It Forward, and she's a phenomenally successful, prolific writer. She writes 2 books a year. She's an amazing writer. Lewis Busby, who is a fantastic middle grade author, and he also teaches at the MFA program at University of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Eric Adams, who's a screenwriter, who is really great with like plot and story and just fantastic suggestions on how to revise. Wow. So I think who you get set up with, the whole weekend can be transformative for your writing. Because at least with the Andrew Brown agency and with most agents, unfortunately, it's both good news and bad news, is that, you know, we just see the opening pages. So when you're submitting and when you're querying the agents, you really want those opening pages to shine and to be exciting and to be engaging and to really pull the reader in, because that's your chance to hook them. And so at Big Sur, that's what we focus on, is how to make those 10 pages just really connect with the reader and really hook whoever's looking at your pages, like an agent.
Mm-hmm. So do you have a couple of these workshops a year now? I see that there's 2 times a year?
So we always have it the first weekend in December at Big Sur. And then we are also doing one next year in Cape Cod. And we are not doing it next year, but periodically we'll do one in the Rocky Mountains. And then we'll also do one in the Big Sur Monterey area again in the spring. So the best thing to do is to always check our website, because we'll have the up-to-date of the latest opportunities. And also, they do sell out quickly. So I suggest, if you're interested in Big Sur, which I highly recommend, it's an incredible weekend. It's also great to meet, I mean, it's all children's books, writers and illustrators too. So it's like, you meet your people and an amazing critique groups that have been formed out of Big Sur. So it's just great all the way around. It's also a really beautiful place and just very serene and a nice getaway, and the food is good. So check out the website, see which next workshop is available and open. And I totally encourage you to apply. And don't worry about, like, if your work isn't totally polished or perfect, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You're going to Big Sur to get feedback to help you polish your work.
It sounds amazing.
It's great. I love it.
Let's talk a little bit about submissions.
Okay.
First of all, let's talk about the query process. For those who don't know what a query letter is, could you tell us a little bit about a query letter?
Yes. And I will also talk about submissions. I'm going to speak specifically for our agency, the Andrew Brown Literary Agency.
Okay.
Because I want to just say up front that every agency has slightly different submission guidelines.
Right.
And it's very important to know what those guidelines are for each agency. Some are pretty strict about following the guidelines, and if you don't follow them, they won't accept the submission. Be sure to look at the guidelines for each agency and understand what they are looking for. So for us, we want a query letter, and I'll go into what that is in just a moment. And then either the first 10 pages of a middle grade or a young adult, or even a chapter book manuscript, or the complete text of a picture book manuscript. And if you are also an illustrator, you can attach some JPEGs of sample art or a PDF of sample art. Or I also highly recommend adding a link to your online portfolio so we can look at illustrations.
Do you also accept like dummy books?
Yes, like in PDF format, like some.
Okay.
But in terms of manuscripts, we ask that you put it in, pasted into the body of the email. Please do not send attachments at that point. We just have trouble with viruses or things coming across. So for your first submission, please put everything in the body of the text unless it's illustrations, and then you can attach some JPEGs.
Okay.
So for a query letter for us, just have a simple introduction like, Dear Jennifer, or if you want to be formal, Dear Ms. Soloway, that's fine.
Yeah.
And then if you've met me somewhere or if you've heard me, for example, if you hear me on this podcast, you can say, oh, I heard you on the podcast, or I met you at SCBWI Western Washington last month, and I really liked what you had to say, and I feel like you and I might be a good fit. And then from there, give us 1 to 2 paragraphs, a brief pitch about your book and your story. And for picture books, it should be very brief. Don't send me 3 paragraphs about your picture book because I'm going to read the entire manuscript. Just give me the basics of what it's about and what makes it different from other books that are out there in the marketplace. Basically, you want to excite me about your story. You want to raise a question in my mind and make me want to read it. So don't give me a full synopsis in the query letter. You just want to tell me who it's about, so the main character, what it's about, and then why should I read it? So, for example, I'm a big suspense crime junkie, and if it's about a kid whose teacher dropped dead and the kid's going to try and find out who killed him, and they think that it was this senior in their biology class, okay, I'm hooked.
Yeah.
I totally will read to find out, you know. That's just a quickie example, and that's not very good. But, you know, something that's going to...
Don't do that exact story.
Hey, if someone wants to write that story, you hook to me, I'm in. So, yeah, something that's going to really hook me in. Or, like, a fantasy where, you know, the main character has got to go on this great adventure, but there's some kind of conflict that there's something that she wants, but there's something that's keeping her from getting it. And the question is, will she be able to get there and will she be able to overcome that conflict? Mm-hmm. I think what happens for a lot of people, especially if you've been working on your manuscript for 3 years and you know every character and you know every plot, every subplot, every thread, every layer, every word, and it's all so important, it's hard to drill it down to that paragraph for the query letter.
Yeah.
And this is how I often write pitches if I feel really close to a project and I can't figure out what to include, is I just will write everything down. Like every little detail, everything that I think that might be important, right? I basically try to write a synopsis.
Yeah.
And then from there, I will go through and I will line by line think like, do they really need to know that for the query? Do they really need to know that for the pitch? And I will just cross out each line that I think is not important. And I try and pare it down to about 5 sentences. And then from there, then once you've got your 5 sentences or so that really talks about what the story is going to be about and what's going to be exciting about it, what that raises a big question in the reader's mind, then, especially for a novel, I will try to rewrite those 5 sentences in such a way that showcases the tone and the style of the writing of the book. So an example, suggestion I have for everybody who's trying to think of how to write a good pitch is start reading the back of paperback books in the airport. Because those are written to try and get someone to pick up the book and buy it, right?
Yeah.
Or even on Amazon, if you don't want to go to the airport or you can't go to the bookstore, get onto Amazon and read the descriptions of the book, because it's the same thing. That is a pitch. They're trying to get you to read the book. And if you look, they're always trying to raise a question or excite you about some element of the story so that you'll want to read to find out what happens.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you want to do with your query. And some really great ones, young adult examples that do a nice job of also presenting this tone and style of the writing, is go down to Amazon and look at We Were Liars by E. Lockhart. If you look at the description of the book on Amazon, which is it's essentially the pitch for the book to make you want to read it, you'll see that the pitch for the book is written in the same style as the opening pages of the book. It's like this really strong voice, short, crisp sentences. And they really did a nice job of writing the back of the book copy to match the style of the writing of the book. And so you get a sense of the tone and the feel. Yeah, it's great. And so I would just, even for picture books too, like look and see How do they describe that? Look at your favorite picture book online. Look at to see how do they pitch the book.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And then try and emulate it for your own writing. And I know that it's really tricky. So even for a query letter, you want to get your friends and your critique group partners, if you've got a mentor, just have them look it over and see, try and find someone who hasn't read your project and see if they understand what's going on in the book when mm-hmm. they read your query, your pitch, and see if they are like, oh yeah, I want to read this. And that's going to be a little tricky because you want to find someone who's going to be honest with you and give you constructive feedback.
For sure.
So that's your pitch and your query. So it's like 1 to 2 paragraphs for a novel. And I would say 1 paragraph or even just a few sentences for a picture book, because at least at Andrea Brown, we're going to actually read your manuscript. So you don't need to write me 2 pages about the book because I'm going to actually read it.
Right. Because your manuscript is probably only 2 pages.
Sometimes people send more about their book than the actual book itself.
Right.
I actually kind of skim over that stuff because I'm going to just read the book.
Yeah.
And then at the bottom of the query letter, you also want to keep that brief. But if you've published a book, or if you have an MFA, or maybe you've got, if you're an illustrator, you've got a BFA in fine art, or if you've published in some literary magazines, or even if you're, I don't know, you write for an ad agency or anything that has to do with writing or illustrating, that you've got some experience, but also that you're dedicated to continuing to work on your craft and that you work either professionally or academically. That's what we want to know. But I also want to say at the same time, if you don't have an MFA or if you're coming from a different walk of life, that's okay too.
Yeah.
For example, if you're writing a young adult psychological thriller and, you know, you have a master's of family therapy, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, you've got another skill set that's lending toward what you're writing. Or if you teach high school, you know, and you're working with kids all the time, and that's also interesting to me. That means that I know that you're that lend. Or if you're an elementary school teacher, or if you're a librarian, these are all things that show me that you've got experience that works toward your writing.
Yeah.
And then include your first 10 pages or your picture book manuscript in its entirety. You also want to let me know in the query letter approximate word count. And for all of your listeners, I would recommend that they Google word count Dracula. Mm. It is a blog post that my colleague Jennifer Loughran created that gives a really nice description for each of the children lit categories and approximately how many words is the right range of words for each of the projects.
Oh,
she covers
cool.
picture books, chapter book, middle grade, young adult, and I think she even has adult novels in there as well.
Okay. Yeah, I'll link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, Jennifer's dynamite. It's really well done and just a fantastic resource.
Very cool.
But yeah, give me the category. If it's young adult, if it's middle grade, it's a picture book, approximate word count, and then the pages. So I'm just going to say something about me. This is not true of other agents.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm only speaking for myself, but I often will read the manuscript first. I often read the pages first before I read the query letter.
Okay.
Because what's most important to me is the writing
yeah.
and the story. And so that's what I'm really looking for.
Yeah.
And then I'll go back and read the query letter. And I say that because I think a lot of people are really, really great writers, mm-hmm. amazing, but they have difficulty pitching their own work.
Oh yeah.
It's another skill and it's hard.
It's hard.
It's something that you might have been working forever on your novel or your book, but you haven't been working forever on pitching. And that in
right.
itself is a set that has to be developed over time. What's most important to me is the writing.
Yeah.
So that's what I do first. But on the flip side, like there are people who are fantastic at pitching. They mm-hmm. are really, really good. I get some amazing pitches, but they don't write as well.
Oh.
And so I will also say on that note, and I mean this sincerely, that I see potential in almost everything I get. What happens is I get a lot of manuscripts that are just too early of a draft.
Hmm.
It's just that I can tell that the writer is still writing to discover, or they haven't reworked the piece enough. And for that reason, I only get the first 10 pages. I have to make a fast decision. am I going to request and read more, or do I have to let it go? And even if I see there's potential, but I can tell the writing isn't there and they need to do a lot of work editorially to get it to the next level, that means they're not ready for me and I'm going to have to pass. So with our agency, if you submit to us and you don't receive a response back within 6 weeks, you have to assume it's a no. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is we just don't have time to write everybody letters and our clients and continue to read. And so I really wish I could write everybody feedback letters. I do, because I want people to succeed. I want them to realize their dreams. Yeah. I just don't have time. So I have to make that fast decision. So that's the bad news. I only see the first 10 pages of your work. And if it's great on page 17, I will never know, because I'm not going to get there, because I'm only going to see the first 10 pages. But good news is I only see the first 10 pages. And so if you don't hear from me, you have an opportunity at our agency. We say that you can resubmit after 6 months and a major revision. So if you go back and decide, okay, I didn't hear back from anybody, no agents responded to me, I'm not going to give up on this piece. And I want to encourage everyone, don't give up. Do not give up. Yeah. Keep working. Writing, keep polishing your work. If you resubmit it to me, especially if you rewrite your query letter, maybe you put a new name on the title and you rework those first 10 pages, it might be great 6 months later. It might be exactly what I'm looking for. And I may request the book and then offer you representation. So don't be discouraged. It doesn't happen the first time. A lot of people get excited, especially if they finish the first draft. I'm ready. I want to get out. Out in the world, they're not ready yet. They send it out maybe too soon. Don't be embarrassed. Don't worry. It's okay. Everybody does it.
Yeah, and, I did that.
It's okay. Yep. You will have success, but it just means that you're going to have to go back and do more work. And unfortunately, in publishing, that means a lot of revising. Like you are going to revise a lot at home with your critique groups and your mentors and all of the feedback that you can get at that point. And then if you work with me, I'm very editorial as an agent, and I'm going to make you go through yet another few rounds. And why? Because I want your work to be the best it can be. And I'm going to read it very carefully and look for any place that's not working. I see that as an opportunity to make the piece better. A negative is actually positive. It's a chance for us to elevate the work and make it better. So then with me, you're going to work two or three rounds. And then hopefully I'm going to sell your project to an editor who's then going to make you work another couple of rounds.
Right.
And why? Because we want that book to be the very best it can be, completely polished and ready to go out in the world to readers.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Don't be afraid of rejection and revision. That's just all part of the game.
Yeah. I mean, revision and rejection sucks.
For sure.
It feels lousy. And I know, and if anybody's feeling low about it when they get the rejection, like, I'm right there with you. I feel for you. It's hard.
Yeah.
And it's even worse when you never hear back. Like, it's just the
hole,
right? The void. But if you can just stick with it and believe in yourself and know I believe in you, and you keep working and keep revising, writing can be taught. You can develop, you can blossom, you can grow, and you will get there. But it's just a lot of perseverance, and you have to have thick skin.
Yeah.
And it's okay to mourn the loss and mourn the rejection, feel sad, but then turn around and keep working on it, because the revision is magical. It's amazing. I've seen first drafts that are hot messes. I can't even figure out what the story is about. And then later I'll see a much later draft and think it's brilliant.
Ah, such good information straight from the mouth of a literary agent. Thank you again, Jennifer. Just to clarify a couple things, when Jennifer talked about next year, she was talking about this year, 2017, because we recorded it back in late 2016. Also, since this is a two-parter, we didn't get to hear where we can find Jennifer on the web, so I will tell you where you can find her. You can find her on the Andrea Brown Literary Agency website, which is andreabrownlit.com. And you can also find Jennifer on Twitter. Her handle is @MartSoloway. You spell that March as in March the month, and then Soloway is S-O-L-O-W-A-Y. All right, I have a question for you. Jennifer talked about how her job as a toy inventor liaison was a stepping stone in helping her become a literary agent. Have you ever done work or learned a skill that seemed totally unrelated to writing or illustrating, but ended up helping you make better art and stories? Come to oatlyacademy.com/go/SU17 and tell me about it in the comments. I love hearing from you. Or tell me about anything else you enjoyed in the episode or things you learned. And be sure and join me next time on Stories Unbound for part two of our interview with Jennifer, where she talks more about submitting to an agent, how an agent works with writers and publishers, and also some awesome advice for authors and illustrators. Until then, keep drawing and keep dreaming. Stories Unbound is a production of the Oatly Academy of Visual Storytelling. I'm your host, Shauna J.C. Tenney. Our producer is Chris Oatly. Our assistant producers are Anya Marcos and Ejua Ebeneba. Our editor is Kevin Scarborough. Our mix engineer is Zee John Young. Our theme music was provided by Ryan Keith and Wes Siepen. Subscribe at storiesunboundshow.com. Find more art and story podcasts featuring insights from some of the most inspiring voices in animation, games, VFX, comics, and children's books at friendsofstoriesunbound.com.